And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm hoping that your T-ball game later goes well, so there could be a championship run here on the show. But I'm doing pretty good, Blake.
We are battling illnesses, so it is going to be very tough. I feel like I'm one of the coaches during the COVID year. As we're battling through some of these illnesses, I need Ben Ruffino to go off tonight. I need Ben Ruffino to go
off. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will.
As the video continues to emerge here, maybe we should have played him up as he hit some bombs yesterday for his birthday. So we went to the batting cages for his birthday. That's what he wanted. And the dude's hitting bombs, because of course he is. And he almost took my manhood away from me in the line drive that he sent right back at me yesterday. I'm going to need number one to go off. It's what we need. Regardless, it has been fun to experience the youth of sports without NIL in the portal, because I think you and I think you and I are in a unique place. The thing that bothers me the most is that I'm there to actually have fun in sport while all the other coaches want to talk to me about NIL, the portal, and LSU, which is the last thing that I actually want to talk about. So to all the parents that watch, you know, come and see us during T-ball, why don't you just talk to me about, like, the weather? You'll get more out of me besides me having to do this for a living and then go to talk to you about it. But I'm going to need number one to go off tonight. It is a big game, so we'll see. But regardless, it's been a fun season.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you. I hope it goes well. We'll just leave it at that. But we probably won't have any more early shows, though, for anyone who's wondering. The Discord always asks us why we do random early shows. I don't think everyone knows it's T-ball related. Hopefully the season's been good, though, regardless of that.
Ben's getting very close to hitting one over the fence. And if he does, I might lose my marbles. With that, we will start, you know, as June, July, August starts, we'll start getting back to normally scheduled times here. I apologize for that, but dad duties do come first, and we're officially out of school today. So, it is the dog days of summer, Joe. The dog days of summer are among us. That also means football's very fastly approaching. And there's a lot of urgency to that. And speaking of that urgency, as we're coming on here today, do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Subscribe down below. Share this to all of your friends. Let them know that we're live. But as we're coming on, and you can catch us on the 24/7 Sports Twitter page, retweet there as well if you don't mind. But, Joe, as we're coming on, speaking of things moving very quickly, Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby has sued the NCAA in a Lubbock district court, requesting that a judge grant him an injunction so that he can be eligible to play for the 2026 football season. The NCAA, per Ross Dellinger, has not concluded its investigation, even though there's contradictories to that from the statement that they have released inside the injunction from Pete Thamel, who is reporting that he is ineligible at the current moment, and there has been a backdoor ruling. Pete's thought on that very quickly is, why would you want to have in the injunction that you're ineligible before the NCAA has made a time? Obviously, that goes with the supplemental draft. Adam Schefter reporting that as well.
Yeah.
Regardless of all that, Sorsby has sent a letter to the NCAA this past Friday acknowledging that he had a gambling issue and asking for an expedited resolution. The NCAA does have a strict policy and precedent over gambling, especially when you place bets on the team that you are on. Joe, this was inevitable that Sorsby was going to be suing the NCAA. He gets that in a Lubbock Court County, in front of a Lubbock Court County judge. What are your thoughts as Brendan Sorsby, as we come on live here, is suing the NCAA?
Yeah, first of all, to request an expedited resolution, I mean, that was inevitable. That was going to happen with this. Right. As Adam Schefter pointed out, and as you just discussed here, the deadline for him to file the paperwork is June 22nd. So he has time, but the NCAA moves at a sluggish pace.
Yep.
So if he gets deemed ineligible right before the start of the season or at some random time, it would have completely killed his draft stock. It would have completely killed everything for his hopes of playing in the NFL. It also would have taken away an opportunity to win the championship Big 12 and get to the college football playoff and all those things for this upcoming year. So for him to be able to file the paperwork and before the NFL has enough time to like really do its due diligence, somebody can still take a swing on him during the supplemental draft. But Blake, at the end of the day, as we were expecting, once Kessler's name was brought up, that there would be some sort of aggressive legal action, no matter how they're going to try and frame this, which they're basically trying to frame that they're disregarding his mental state, hence his addiction. And they're also the NCAA and college athletics are disregarding the influence on gambling in sports and the money that they make off of gambling in sports. I don't think any of that's going to matter. Mm-hmm. This is not an eligibility circumstance where we have some blurred lines and a local court can get ruled in your favor because you have a judge that has a biased interest. This is a very serious issue that is going to be discussed here. The government isn't going to play around with gambling allegations, improper ones like this. As much as I'm sure Texas Tech fans are hoping that he can be on the field and that this will work out and that the firepower of Kessler will be enough, this is not a circumstance where we're questioning the NCAA's power. There is a clear history of how things like this are perceived. I just find it really hard to believe that any of these actions are going to amount to really anything.
All right. Stay with me because it's going to sound like I'm disagreeing with you. I am not. Let me make that very well clear. Okay. I agree with you from start to finish, but humor me. If Cody Campbell can get to the president of the United States, what makes me think that he can't get to a local judge? Let me repeat what I just said. If the biggest booster for Texas Tech, who is vastly involved, whether we want to say that we don't know or not, assuming that he is involved in the NIL portion of what Texas Tech does from a financial standpoint, if that man can get to the president of the United States, be a part of the NCAA, be a part of the college football committee in governing the sport, why do I not believe that he can't get to a sitting judge? I think that he can get to a sitting judge well before he can get to the president of the United States. My worry here is not that I disagree with you, because I 100% agree with you. I don't think anybody that places bets on their own team should be eligible, and I do think that they should be out. I agree with you that the NCAA has the action and the rightable action to do that. However, I also, like, the first thing when I saw Lubbock County Court, the first thing that I thought was Trinidad Chambliss, about how when Trinidad Chambliss was in court for eligibility issues, that after the case was over with, the judge called him to the bench and asked him for an autograph. And so I'm wondering here, even though gambling is arguably the biggest no-no of what you can do, again, Joe, 1,000% agree with you. My big worry here is that you have somebody in Cody Campbell who has the ear of the president, which really makes me think that he can have an ear of a judge to make him eligible for the 2026 season.
That would be grossly inappropriate if he was capable of swaying a judge. And that's, again, this is, I agree. I understand where you're coming from. I understand that you are playing devil's advocate, that there's a reason why that these cases end up working out the way that they do. The own Heineke one is another example where,
yes,
eligibility was granted because of multiple efforts of trying to get the right judge and all that. I think that there is a pretty cut and dry, black and white situation here. And I think that as much as they're trying,
black or red, like he's playing craps. Too soon? Is it too soon?
Well, I thought that was a Texas Tech color joke.
Okay,
I thought
I mean that too. I mean, okay, you play black, but, or red. I mean, still.
Blake, my point here is that there is a discernible interpretation on what is right and wrong when it comes to gambling, specifically gambling on a team that you were a member of. It is, it's insider trading. That's what this is. You have insider information that you are not supposed to be able to profit off of. It is an incredibly serious allegation that is over him. And just because I am not trying to downplay the mental health aspect of this, if he does have a serious gambling addiction, as his team and Kessler are trying to frame this as, there is still no reason why he should be re-granted his eligibility.
Agreed.
Those things can be true. Those things absolutely can be true, and he can get the proper treatment and then move on to go and play in the NFL. But at the same time, the NCAA has no obligation to allow him to play if he violated the sanctity of competition at this level in college athletics. They're unrelated things to me. I mean, he should be lucky that he theoretically wouldn't potentially see some sort of jail. I know it's not like he didn't bet enough money for that to happen, but that's my whole point, is that in situations like this, when there's been far more extreme circumstances with like mob activity and those things, I mean, the Kayshawn Boutte example, where there was like federal involvement, if I'm correct, with the investigation that went in there, there are allegations of like serious legal consequences. So mm-hmm. I think that he should be hoping to get out of this without anything like that coming over his head, and should be less focused on the NCAA eligibility aspect of this. I think it is a lost cause trying to fight these things.
Just because mental health is involved, and it's a very sensitive subject in today's world to talk about, doesn't mean that you're supposed to be granted back what you lost. Meaning, if Joe, you know me better than most, but for example, I have a lot of friends who have been to war, a lot of police officers. Just because they may struggle with PTSD and their actions lead them to do something that they didn't really intend to do, but because they have it, something sets them off, doesn't mean that they get to go back to their job. Now, that's an extreme case, but is this not an extreme case too? The amount, here's the only thing that I actually will disagree with you on. The amount doesn't bother me. I don't care if he bet $1 million or 50 cents. You still did it. You still did it. And the actions have got to have consequences. And here's what the problem, that if this is allowed and you grant him the eligibility, you're sending across the country that this can be sued and this can be won. Here's another avenue, though, that really gets me. This judge is an elected official, and you're in Lubbock County. How many Texas Tech fans do you think reside in Lubbock County? I'd say probably 99%. Now, I'm spitballing, but I would say nothing less than 98%. Mm-hmm. There's a political component here that I also think needs to be addressed, and why this we talked last night about antitrust, and we talked about guardrails being put in place by the Senate. How about you can't sue in state court? How about you can't sue in a state court and you got to go federal and make this federal, so that there aren't necessarily always elected judges let's just call it what it is. The people that are going to vote for him are Texas Tech fans. So you mean to tell me that career suicide is legitimately coming to the judge that is going to get this case, and that they're not going to favor it?
There's an ethical obligation here, though. I understand what you're saying. I don't mean to cut you off, but there should be an ethical obligation that it doesn't happen.
And there was an ethical obligation in Trinidad Chambliss, and the man called him to the bench and got an autograph.
But I think that that's far less of, this is why I said earlier on,
it is far less.
Like if that goes through, no one's
common sense and not thinking about the world of politics that we live in.
I don't disagree, but I think that the opposite side of this is that he's violating a clear ethical code of allowing for outside forces to manipulate a decision. That would cost him his career. Would it not?
No, because judges can go with immunity. Let me ask you this question. If most judges have immunity, like a judge can fight on. Let's bring up Kessler's argument. Kessler can say, well, how is it allowed that the NCAA makes profits from gambling, but the player can't. How can
does the NCAA have a bit? This is why this came up like right before we went live. So I wanted to dig into stuff like this, but like, does the NCAA have gambling partner?
They're going to have to fight is why during the men's basketball tournament, do you have a gambling sponsor on the ticker on the sidelines where it's got a big F and a big D? I mean, the tournament's run by the NCAA. So how did
that? But is that a broadcast partner issue? Broadcast partner being
you're going to have to defend that, and I don't know. I mean, we partnered with CBS. We can definitely ask them, but you get my gist. But why would Kessler put it in there if he doesn't have documentations that they are making money from it?
Well, I don't think that they do. I think that you're trying to manipulate the emotions of a decision maker in this situation because you remember when we were still, before we announced the partnership with 24/7 Sports and FanDuel was still a partner on this show, all the comments on the Brandon Sorsby video were people saying it is incredibly ironic that you're sitting here criticizing the kid and you have a FanDuel logo on the screen, which I disagreed with. I don't think that those things are at all inherently related. The point that I'm trying to make with this is that I think that there was a common argument that were made in support of Sorsby and Texas Tech because it is a argument. I am, as I will always say on the show, I love debate. And I love to hear multiple arguments. I will never tell somebody that they can't share their argument. And I can recognize and I like to interpret and understand where that perspective is coming from. I don't think it's the correct one.
Thank you for giving the basis of Rufino and Joba.
Well, no, but that's my point is nobody would like this show if you and I refused to listen to one another, because this show wouldn't be fun if we weren't able to just turn the page and move on after every segment that we started yelling at each other. But the point that I'm getting at here is, while it is an argument that can be supported, I don't think that they're inherently related, because the problem that happened with Brandon Sorsby, the NCAA is not profiting off of sports gambling dollars. The media rights partners are the ones that are profiting off of it. Agreed. Just because it is a part of the sports landscape nowadays, and there are also an aggressive emphasis on safe gambling and all those things from the sports books as they're trying to make it an established part of culture, it doesn't mean that the NCAA is obligated to not allow for any sports gambling advertising to appear by their media partners. The media partners would go bankrupt because that's where most of their money's coming from.
Agreed. Look, I'm playing devil's advocate in this. I don't think that if it's black and white or black and red, as you stated, probably a little too soon.
You stated that.
Black and red a little too soon. With that being said, I have a hard time too. The three thoughts that I have before we move on here. I don't trust Cody Campbell. I don't trust that if he can get to a president, he can't get it to a sitting judge, ethical or non-ethical. Is there a judge that's wanting to retire and then wants to get out of here after this? I don't know. Number two, it is political suicide. Like, we have to understand that if you go against a quarterback that can help you lead and win games in the playoff, and you do this in a Lubbock County courtroom, it is political suicide. But number three, I have a hard time refuting everything that you just said. The weight of everything that you just brought up, how is that refutable? How is what Joe just said, and I'm talking to you in the third person to some extent, how is everything that you just stated not overweigh everything that could be what we stated in a political atmosphere? You can't and should not have the rights to gamble on a game that you are a part of, whether you play in it or not. That should be cut and dry, and I agree. And so, look, the expedited nature of this is because of the supplemental draft. I hope it's not granted. And let me tell you what I would do if I was a judge. I wouldn't grant it, so I don't have to rule on it. Okay, you sued, but I don't have to hear it now. I got stuff that I got going on. So, look, I guess we'll see how this plays out, and we'll definitely go from there. But we do have a comment here.
Who's that?
From Aaron Grisham. I have no idea who this guy is. He says, "Hey, fellas, longtime caller, first-time listener. I heard it's commitment season. Where should I go watch live commitments? I'll hang out."
That's a good question.
You know, there was a little thing this weekend where one party stated, hey, this are all of our social media accounts and our following. And then all of a sudden, it got doubled by a graphic that 24/7 put up today. I'm just going to say, I mean, the followers don't really lie. Mm. I'm just going to leave it there. I mean, 24/7 is definitely the place to be. And where else can you get Tom Loy almost getting punched? That's where I want to know.
I mean, right.
Mark Matthews almost punched Tom Loy. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is there, but absolutely. All right. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups. If you could share the YouTube link to Facebook, we greatly appreciate it. And subscribe down below. Retweet if you're on Twitter and wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Speaking of 24/7 sports, Joe, if everybody listening has their favorite team, so many people are signing up with this too, by the way. Get 60% off of an annual VIP membership to 24/7 sports by using the promo code RJ60. That's RJ60 at checkout. Look, there's a lot of new additions coming all across your favorite team sites. We were talking about Ole Miss's not too long ago. We're talking about LSU's. Zach Nagy got added on today. Use that promo code RJ60 at checkout. Get that annual VIP membership as it is commitment season. If you want to follow your favorite team and the five stars and where they're committing, you need to get over to 24/7 today by using that promo code RJ60 at checkout. All right, Joe, let's get into this. So we talked about the College Sports Commission last night, but more is coming out of these meetings that are taking place. And an interesting article was released today and asked, Brett Yormark, Jim Phillips was asked about any changes in the College Sports Commission that should happen. Multiple people were on record in telling Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports that the Big Ten and the SEC should potentially break away from the College Sports Commission. Joe, what are we doing here? I feel like that there are so many fires that are being thrown at the College Sports Commission, and yet I don't know if I agree or disagree with all of them. But the main issue is that, as Ross reports, $125 million sits that has not been approved by the College Sports Commission or has been denied by the College Sports Commission, where 75% of that, or $100 million, resides within the Big Ten and the SEC. Your thoughts on the Big Ten and potentially the SEC breaking away from the College Sports Commission?
Yeah, look, you brought up the main point that came with this, with the frustration from the major programs in college athletics. And, you know, the minute that they're impeded upon, it now becomes a gigantic issue because those are always the loudest voices. There was a lot of money that was promised to athletes that was expected to go to those athletes that is getting shut down by the CSC because there's not a lot of clarity on what's supposed to be legal in the NIL world. It is going to continue to get worse and worse until this gets sorted. Jeffrey Kessler, who was one of the attorneys on the House case, there is a hearing that is coming up, which we discussed last week during the Nebraska segment that we did, that is coming up in order to readjust and reestablish what the CSC is supposed to be shutting down, especially with these media rights partners, which is a big way in which college athletics programs are able to pay their players NIL deals through podcasts, through social media content, whatever it might be, in order to promote the school. Like, there was a lot in this article. Ross did a really good job highlighting a lot of things that were in this article. And I don't even want to like sit here and recap all the things that were brought up. All I came back from with this, and there was a quote from an agent in here that summed it up perfectly. As I was reading this, I said, for F's sake, I wrote this down, for F's sake, just make athletes employees. Like, I've said this on this show before, the simplest solution for all of these damn problems. We keep talking about a different problem, then you get a quote from an administrator and a coach, and they're like, well, are we supposed to fix this? This is untenable. This is impossible to navigate this. If there was a CBA, all of this would be so much simpler. The pro leagues have CBAs, and while there are lockouts that happen from time to time, there's at least a communication that can occur from representatives from those players' associations. Like, all these problems are tied to the same crap because there's no one to negotiate with because they keep changing things and it just keeps getting sued. The quote that was in here, an agent said that he feels that there is the potential for a player strike. I don't think that that's going to come to fruition because you would need a lot of players to sit out. But his quote is, we'll have a year without college sports. Then there's a negotiation towards the league separating from the NCAA and having a CBA, which should happen. I don't think we get to that extreme, but having collective bargaining is the one problem that these schools refuse to address. It's the one thing that would be the simplest solution for all of this crap.
I understand why, you know, I'm not going to play devil's advocate on this one because you have state schools and you would make them state employees. And so if you make them state employees, I mean, Joe, I worked for the state for a long time. Okay. If they're there longer than 4 years and they get vested at five, retirement becomes a really interesting conversation to have. A very interesting conversation to have that states can't afford, not going down that rabbit hole. But let me throw this your way. You know what quote got me the most? Quote that got me the most was Jim Phillips and Brett Yormark. Because they said that there shouldn't be any changes to the College Sports Commission until we find out the finality of all of it. No crap. Because you don't have $100 million on the line. Your things are getting approved. So you tuck-tailed and ran after you signed a memorandum of understanding, which I'm going to bring up yet again in just a moment, in 2024, a year ago almost to the day, by the way, the ACC and the Big 12 signed a memorandum of understanding of giving the Big 10 and the SEC full control of the college football playoff. Okay? So you're conceding these other things, but yet we still keep getting quotes by Ross on these guys who quite honestly shouldn't have the power and don't really have any power. But let me bring up something your way too. I know that this isn't going to come off in the right way, but people see $100 million and they're like, oh my God, that's a lot of money. Well, Joe, in the SEC and the Big Ten, you have 34 total teams. 34 total. If you take the $100 million that's been denied or hasn't been approved, that's $2.94 million per team. Now, obviously, more teams are there are teams that are doing more, as Ross puts in the article. Michigan, Ohio State, and Oregon lead the pack when it comes to NIL agreements from a third party. But if I'm looking at $100 million, I'm like, that's a lot of money, and it is. But if I average it through 34 teams, and it's let's just round up to saying it's $3 million per team, is that really a lot of money? Because you're talking about spending $20 million on TV revenue, and per average per the teams, it's $3 million. So these teams have what's happening right now? These teams have made contracts, whether it's Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, LSU, Miami, whoever it may be, and the College Sports Commission is not approving them. They're not approving them. So now you're in a standoff where schools are saying, we need finality, and it's frustrating that you're not approving these, but what is the value of the quarterback at Ohio State or Oregon? What's the NIL value or marketing value of the quarterback with Lane Kiffin? What is the marketing value of Darian Mensa? And so, Joe, my question is, yes, $100 million is a lot of money. But when you average it out to the 34 teams, the Big Ten and the SEC, it's $3 million. Now, more teams are, there are short, a small amount of teams that are doing more and a lot of teams that are doing less. And I understand that. And people want to say, again, and this is what it comes down to, is it's not equal. And that's why I brought up the Brett Yormark and Jim Phillips situation. Their problem with this is that they're trying to fight for equality when the truth of the matter is sports is about finding out who's not equal. So as I agree with you on the collective bargaining agreement. I don't know how you do that through multiple sports. I don't know. And I agreed with you last night. I don't think that we get it. But how in the world can you have $125 million total dollars not approved and sitting on the table? Let me tell you how. You hired a firm that historically has been known for taking massive contracts and taking lots of money and not producing. And so you have a team of 20 people that are trying to approve $250 million worth of work, and they can't get to it all. So is the question that they should separate from the College Sports Commission? Probably. Probably. Because the truth of the matter is, if I put a value on, and I always use LSU so I don't get in trouble, if I put a value of Sam Leavitt in three or four or five social media posts across all platforms being $1 million to $2 million, that's the agreement that we've come up to. Now, I find it ironic that a judge last week did not and refused in the College Sports Commission's arbitration of Nebraska, refused to put a dollar value on podcasts from Playfly. I do find that ironic because nobody wants to muddy that water. But Joe, we're talking about a $3 million NIL value per team in the Big Ten and the SEC combined. And everybody's like, oh, see, there's so much money. There is. But when you average it out by team, it really isn't. So when you start, and I understand that there's a handful doing more, as Ross points out, clearly the Oregons and Ohio States and LSUs and Texases of the world are spending a lot more of that money. But how are you not approving these? If you have a $5 million deal for a quarterback at Oregon who's probably got a Nike deal, I mean, like, I'll give an example of something. The Fernando Mendoza, just stay with me. The Fernando Mendoza hype video coming out of the national championship, Joe, got 22 million views. And you're trying to convince me that, let's just say he's not, that post isn't worth $500,000 for name, image, and likeness? So, well, I understand, lastly, I understand that it's difficult to do this, but the College Sports Commission is failing. You can't have $125 million on the books and say that we're doing everything we can when, are you?
I think that this has a lot more to do with what we talked about in the Nebraska segment last week, that there are too many deals where they weren't effectively thought out, where there was some sort of activation for NIL rights for an athlete's NIL. There was not an effective activation. That was what was brought up in the Nebraska case, that the third-party media rights entity that is attached to Playfly, that's attached to Nebraska now as their sole media rights owner, that they were not doing enough to capitalize on the players' NIL that they had the rights to then utilize. I think that this is part of what Kessler is going to bring up and discuss in the hearing. This is the biggest hurdle that I think simplifies some things, where establishing that the media rights holders, these third-party entities, that they're not associated directly with the schools. So if a certain amount of money is paid for the rights for these media rights companies to the institutions, and then the institutions could do whatever the media rights companies could do whatever they want, like, establishing that that is okay would, I think, simplify a lot of these things. But as long as that there is some sort of active utilization of a player's name, image, like this, like you talked about, but where the problem does come into play, where I still stand by, I do think that any circumstance where we do have like a booster business that is just paying a kid, and there's no clear path to how he is actually promoting that business, those deals still need to be scrutinized.
Mm.
Right now, at the current moment, though, it does seem as though that there is an over-enforcement on these things. And I feel like...
Well, I told you the deal very quickly. There was a $600 a month deal from a player at LSU that I'm vastly involved in that took him 187 days to approve.
Well, yeah, the volume of it, and I think that they don't know what they're doing, and it still doesn't make any sense to me that they let those dorks at Deloitte be the ones who are overseeing this and all that crap. I have such a problem with it. I think in general, the scares of potentially seeing the Big Ten and the SEC leave, I don't know if I totally buy into it. I think that it's been brought up multiple times in relation to different issues across the board where it feels like the murmurs could end up becoming louder and louder. The one thing that was really interesting in Ross's piece, he said that a leading agenda item in the SEC spring meetings next week is going to be the conference's future with the NCAA. And if they deem that they feel that they should be a part of it, and it's been brought up multiple times from administrators at SEC programs this offseason when they've spoken to the media, they've addressed it and they've questioned it. They've questioned if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, but it is a bit foreboding that this is something that continues to come up.
Notice how the Big Ten and SEC always threaten to leave, and that's how they get memorandums of understanding from the ACC and Big 12, and they're going to do that to the College Sports Commission and NCAA now. I mean, Joe, how does the ACC and Big 12 get their deals done before the SECs or Big 10s? I mean, with all due respect in Ross's piece, there wasn't an SEC team that was in the top from what the College Sports Commission has not approved. It was the Big Ten. He mentioned Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State. Those were the teams that he mentioned. So if I'm the Big Ten, I'm putting a lot of enforcement down and stating, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, Joe, you can't. Again, we'll go down the rabbit hole. Yeah. I don't understand how you give non-attorneys at Deloitte attorney privileges to approve and disapprove contracts on what can and cannot be legal. They're not attorneys. So you don't know. You're letting a random Susie Q say that she believes that it is or isn't plausible. So as they continue to argue this, I think that the Big Ten and SEC should continue to put weight on them. And, well, we'll go from there. All right. Let's move on here. The Big Ten spring meetings are underway. Joe, what do you think the biggest topic was that they wanted their coaches pushing out? Even though Ryan Day, the Ohio State head coach, kind of pushed away from the discussion, he did say today in spring meetings that he believes that the calendar needs to be moved up and that the college football season should end the first week of January. But today, it's coming out of spring meetings of the Big Ten that 18 out of 18 coaches have voted for an expanded playoff of 24. And as college football's playoff expansion continues to take underway, Joe, what are your thoughts of, I mean, it's not really, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. We're just kind of repeating ourselves. But now that they have an 18 out of 18 vote, what are your thoughts on the expansion?
I like how in the article, and I like Jed Fish, but I like how in the article it was stated.
They went for PJ Fleck and Jed Fish. That's the first thing that I read. What are we? Why are we asking them?
Well, I really like him, but he had this quote in here that made me roll my eyes. He said, I think if we continue to not express that, it was going to be much harder for the whole nation to understand where we're coming from. And he was referring to the fact that having media representation at Big Ten spring meetings in order to push out this message on why they want the 2014 playoff. That's what he was getting at. I rolled my eyes because we understand why you're bringing it up.
Yes.
We're not dumb. We understand why this is being brought up. Fleck brought up the lazy argument that everybody turns to where they say, well, we want more meaningful games in November. That's what we want. It's going to make college athletics better. At the end of the day, the one thing that there's two things that we haven't discussed that I want to bring up here. First of all, and I don't know how we haven't talked about this, the Fox Sports' CEO has been very public in support of the 2014 playoff. I'm shocked. ESPN came out last week against, and we briefly touched on it, but we didn't have enough time to like dive into it. ESPN is apparently adamantly against the 2014 playoff and doesn't want to expand past 12. And the reason why is that if they expand, they don't get that catalog of games that goes to an open market. The open market allows for Fox Sports to then scoop up those games and then they can fill the rest of their inventory, have winter inventory for college football, actual meaningful, good inventory instead of an occasional one-off bowl game. So the powers that be here, this is why I get really pissed off seeing, and it keeps getting ramped up every time there's a new article that comes out with this. Today it was getting ramped up again this morning. the people that come out in support of the 2014 playoff come from the angle that they believe that this is in support of the little guy. It is great for the small program. It is going to make it better for growth of these teams. It's going to allow for them to compete for national championships. But these people don't understand that they're getting played. This is all propaganda. This is all propaganda by the powers that be that influence every single decision, which is the media entities that own and want playoff inventory. That is what this is. You can't trust either side, quite frankly. But Blake, at the very least, if you stick at 12, you're not turning it into a gross monstrosity out of pure greed. The other part with this that needs to be, I think, emphasized that is not getting talked about enough is that as much as people want to discuss, well, this would mean that maybe a team like Minnesota would get a chance to go to the college football playoff. Sure, maybe every once in a while. All this does is create chances and opportunities for a down year for Ohio State, a down year for Michigan, a down year for Georgia, down year for Alabama, down year for LSU, down years for all the top programs that maybe they have a four-loss season that they would get shoved into the back end of the playoff purely because that they know that people would watch those games. You're just making it easier for the top brands to still get in. I kind of came away from this, my last thing here, Blake. The 2014 playoff, I kind of want it to happen from the degree that I can't wait for that first bracket reveal to come out, and it's just loaded with blue blood programs, and then we're going, oh, how did that happen? What do you mean that the middle pack Big 12 and ACC teams didn't get in? What do you mean four-loss Penn State got in there?
Everyone is biased. ESPN is biased because they don't want to give their competitors games for the playoff. Fox and CBS and everybody else wants those games. So we're not trying to come down on them, but they want those games as well. So what happens? If you expand, they do get those games, as you mentioned. So Tony Battiti is a TV guy. His history is coming from television. You don't think he has buddies who want to push so that they get those games? But then you look at ESPN and say, well, they have the monopoly over the college football playoff. Well, of course they do. They spent the money. They got it. Mm-hmm. But it's not genuine. To your point, it's not genuine. Everybody has an agenda. Well, what about this agenda? The Big Ten keeps saying that they want college football playoff expansion. Kurt Cignetti, last year at Big Ten Media Days, very famously came out and said the SEC has weak schedules, which we know wasn't true. Well, how about this? The Big Ten has 18 teams in its conference. Did you know that 15 of those teams last year had four losses or more? Did you know in 2024, if you would have expanded it, do you want to know how many teams had five losses?
How many?
Well, I'm glad that you asked. 13 of the 18 teams had five losses or more. So when I look at the Big Ten, you're asking for expansion. Well, you're asking for expansion because 15 of your 18 teams had four losses or more. In 2024, 13 of the 18 teams had five losses or more. So, yes, we all understand why you want expansion. It's because you have two-thirds of your conference, not the top dogs like Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon, and sometimes Penn State that sit at the top. It's the two-thirds at the bottom that can't get in. And if you want to know, well, Blake, hey, that leaves chances and you put in blue bloods like Michigan. Well, Michigan had four losses last year. Joe, two of them came from Oklahoma and Texas. So you can talk about the top dogs and say, well, the top dogs in the Big Ten are winning. They are. And they are rolling the sport. However, how can I look at this two-thirds of the Big Ten and say that, well, we want expansion? No, duh, you want expansion, because last year alone, 15 of your teams had four losses. 15. 1-5. Well over two-thirds of your conference had four losses or more. The reason that the Big Ten wants expansion, not just because of the TV deals that they've signed that don't include ESPN, clearly, they want more of their teams in for more of the share of the money. And that is ultimately why they are pushing it. Why is the SEC not pushing it? Well, we had Georgia, we had Oklahoma, we had Alabama, we had Ole Miss. We had two teams that should have been in that didn't get in. We had Texas that should have been in over Tulane. We had Vandy that should have been in over James Madison. Meanwhile, Michigan, who could have gotten in an expanded playoff, lost to Texas and Oklahoma. So I just beg the question, as the Big Ten continues to go out there and say, we play tougher schedules than you do. Well, no, you don't, meaning the SEC. Two-thirds of your conference at the end of the year have four losses or more. And then the year before, 13 of your teams had five losses or more. That's really why you want this thing to be expanded. I mean, the proof in the pudding's there. I mean, those aren't my statistics. Go look them up for yourself. Those are the reasons they want expansion. So as the Big Ten continues to come out here and lie to you and say it would make it more competitive and more teams would get in and all of this rant, all of these lies that continue to come out, it has nothing to do with anything other than TV and anything other to do with getting more teams in. It doesn't make the playoff more competitive. It makes the playoff more diluted. And it's exactly what you will do to the regular season if you do it as well. So if you're going to come with statistics, if the Big Ten is going to come with statistics, explain the statistics to me of two-thirds of your teams having four losses and you'd think that those teams deserve to get in. By the way, Michigan was the fourth team in the Big Ten. They had two losses to the SEC. So the SEC had two decades of dominating the sport, dominating it. They never tried to expand the playoff to get more teams in. It's been the Big Ten that has a constant issue with not wanting to expand it. Sure, if you expand it, you know what happens? The SEC gets more teams in more than you do. They're going to get more teams in than you. With all due respect, they're going to get more teams in than you because they have a tougher strength of schedule. And historically speaking, over the last 25 years, they would have gotten more teams in.
Wait, but I don't like that last little tidbit that you're throwing in here where
you can't.
Historically, over the last 25 years doesn't mean anything because the sport is
In the last 4 years, they would have gotten more in.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
No, it's not disagreeable. It's literal fact. It's not debate. Like, these aren't debatable. Like, those aren't debatable, like, analytics. That is legit what would come down. You would rather a four-loss Iowa get in, a four-loss Michigan to get in, and you want to expand it. You know what the regular season did? It told me that Oklahoma can beat Michigan. It told me that Texas can beat Michigan in the postseason. That's what it told me.
Okay, I don't know how we I don't know how we always end up here that this turns into like you start giving me a good coherent argument that I'm not saying your argument's incoherent. You give a really strong case and I start agreeing with it, and then as you're going, I'm like trying to keep up with. I'm like, wait, hold on, this is turning into SEC propaganda. I'm like, what? How did hold we on. End up here?
Let me tell
you're
you.
Not wrong. Wait. You're not wrong.
SEC. He took a shot at the SEC.
You are not wrong in the sense that this is part of that. There would be a large number of SEC programs that would still get into the college football playoff. I pulled up last year's college football playoff ranking. Two of the schools right off the bat that were in the mix that we had talked about for final spots would have included Texas. It would have included Vanderbilt, Texas being a major program. But the entire back half of the top 25 after the 14th spot, there's not a single SEC team there. There are a lot of SEC or Big Ten programs. Mm-hmm. This supports what I'm getting at, what I was getting at earlier, is that this would open the door for the blue blood big brand programs like USC and Michigan that have had three lost seasons recently that would have the opportunity to just slide their way in. That is how I see this more. I don't think that there's any kind of major relation to talk about here with
why do they
putting more teams in.
Okay, well then fine. Then stop taking shots at the SEC then like Jed Fish did.
What did he say that was a shot at the SEC?
He's saying so that everybody understands where we're coming from. He's taking a shot at the SEC, in my opinion.
He didn't. I don't think that he is. I think that he's merely just trying to point out that
I don't think that
the narrative has been the narrative has been misconstrued.
By whom? Because the SEC is the only one denying it, because Brett Yormark and Jim Phillips signed a memorandum of understanding that they have no weight in the whole thing. 365 days ago, Jim Phillips and Brett Yormark came out and said, there's no way we should expand it for the best interests of the sport. And now all of a sudden that the Big Ten, it feels like it's gaining interest, and that USC and that Michigan can get in. Understand what you're doing. So to your point, even if your logic is correct, even to point out yours, they want those teams in. That's the only reason why they're doing this, and to give their partners and TV partners more money so that they can go out and make these sales and that they can all make more money. This is not about the competitiveness of the sport. If anything, it dilutes the sport even more, because that's where we're at.
That aspect I don't disagree with. That aspect I don't disagree with, that it does dilute it. And I think that hold on. Here's the thing that I knew. Let's peel back for a second and realize what just happened here. So you and I just started arguing about, is the Big Ten, is the SEC stronger? Like, that's what they want us to do. Seriously. We no, need to be like more.
SEC.
No, wait. Hold on. Wait. Let me talk what I'm getting here. They want us to argue conference on conference. They want us to argue and for there to be a division, because it's a distraction. It's a distraction, because at the end of the day, there is no coherent argument from a competitiveness standpoint to actually support expanding the playoff.
Exactly.
Both sides. I'm not just saying Big Ten / Fox. It also includes, we got to acknowledge here that there is with the SEC and ESPN, they have their own in selfish interests that they're also trying to protect.
Yes.
They're trying to operate from their own ends that help either party on either side. They want us to sit here and get distracted on the debates of, one, is the Big Ten stronger than the SEC? They want us to get here and argue over the debates of, would the Big 12 and the ACC deserve to get into these extra spots? Those are all valid talking points, but at the end of the day, these debates are being had because media outlets are trying to distract from the fact that they're just trying to create a bigger playoff, not for the sake of the fan, but for the sake of more money going into their pockets, for them to be able to make more money. We should always question the desires of where these influences are coming from. Why do they want to do it? I am yet to see a valid support, quite frankly, for like a really truly valid support for either side. I think that it makes more sense to stick where we are at 12. And I think that we need to stop letting people support and try to influence our feelings on this by creating a commotion over if it is actually more competitive or not, and better for the sport or not, if there were more playoff opportunities.
Okay, so let's just utilize the Big Ten for just a moment. Let's keep the SEC out of this argument that I'm about to make. How do you explain Michigan going 0-4 against top 15 teams? That happened. If you want to do just the regular season, they went 0-3. So how do you explain expansion? So hear me out. If you're the Big Ten, this is me going after the Big Ten because they're pushing for expansion. Explain to me how expansion is good when you literally had them go 0-3 on teams that would have been in a 12-team playoff. It happened in the regular season. How do you do that for Iowa, who went 0-4? So the reason I'm pointing out the Big Ten is because you're calling for expansion. Since you're the one calling for expansion, explain to me how that doesn't get ruled out in the regular season.
I think that the same thing here applies on – this is again, I'm going to keep coming back to what I just said here. I have a problem when we try to angle the discussion by signaling out the Big Ten, because – and this is not me trying to wait. This is not me trying to like defend the SEC or the Big Ten or anything in that regard. I think that this supports your take here, because let's add another example to, do we really think said teams are more competitive and better to be in the playoff field?
No, that's
You have a Texas team that lost to a top team in the Big Ten and then also lost to a bad Florida team. They were incredibly volatile. Is that a team that you want to put in the playoff field? There was an argument for them to have gotten in, and the best win that they had was against Texas A&M, who laid a complete dud in a home game in a setting that was supposed to be one of the hardest to play in a playoff setting that everybody was – they played like crap at home.
But the reason that I give Texas a nod over Michigan, they didn't go 0-4. They didn't lose a game.
We're not relitigating that. And that's not my point.
But they still beat two playoff teams. Let me finish. And I still don't want expansion for that SEC team.
Okay. That's what I was trying to get at here, is that if we also look at the teams in the other conferences.
I went in non-expansionist. They beat two playoff teams. So if you want to make this an SEC argument, Blake is arguing for the SEC. We're literally saying that, okay, the reason I'm pointing out the Big Ten is because the Big Ten is pushing it. Texas shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have lost. The same argument that I have for Texas is the same one I have for Notre Dame. It's the same one I would have for Michigan. You lost. Those games got played out in the regular season. Nobody outside of the top 12 had a better resume than Texas. Nobody.
Okay, so, but we're not relitigating that.
We have to, because that is what the regular season is for. Yes. If you expand it, then that means what exactly?
Yes, that is the point, is that if there are, after the regular season is played out, if there is enough clear evidence, and then you have to create caveats in order to have supporting arguments for certain teams to get in, for the teams in the back end of the top 12, if those teams are automatically in, it, as we said multiple times before, it dilutes the competition in the regular season. You are putting teams that are in are flawed. As much as I supported Notre Dame and tried to support them,
Then ask the Big Ten to explain why they want expansion. Do you have a right?
It's obvious. It is obvious. We addressed that at the beginning. It's obvious. That's why I call total BS, and why I brought up the PJ Fleck quote that he had, where he said, it's got tremendous steam and power behind it, especially from the 18 head coaches in the Big Ten. When you do a lot of things that everybody's 18 for 18 for, we should do. I think it speaks volumes. They're being told to support this. They're being told that they should be in favor of this.
All right. Well, we didn't get to
we're not getting to South Carolina. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay. Else is obviously coming after me. Now add an extra loss to the bottom half of the SEC. This isn't an SEC argument. The reason I targeted the Big Ten is because it's a Big Ten talking point. So why would I go after the SEC on expansion when they don't want expansion? The Big Ten can't – hold on, Alex. The Big Ten can't come out and make a statement and say, we want expansion, and then when I point out that 15 of your 18 teams have 4 losses, you can't come in here and say, Blake's being an SEC homer. I don't want expansion to start off with. But hold on. Y'all are missing the point. The Big Ten can't come out with a statement and me not fight the Big Ten on it.
We're not missing the point here. This is my point why I'm trying to say that we shouldn't talk about this from a conference-by-conference lens. We shouldn't do that, because the Big Ten isn't – they're not advocating for this truly because they're trying to help their own interests purely. They're doing this because you have a media rights holder that wants the opportunity to get more games. You have a commissioner who has a media background, who has a close relationship with the leading media rights holder for his conference. He has the ability to communicate to his coaches and to his athletic directors, we have to push this. If we push this, we could potentially make more money. They're going to then take advantage of that opportunity to be good members of the conference, to publicly advocate for it. Because if they publicly advocate for it, their brands continue to grow. Their universities continue to grow. I'm just trying to say that if we fall for the trap of getting into the conference by conference fights, it's what the it's what these people want. That's what they want, because it's really all just about adding more games so that they can have more games on TV.
But that
we can sell ads for that nobody is that the games are going to be.
We're making the same point in the sense of it got played out in the regular season. You keep pushing for it, and 15 teams in your conference didn't deserve it.
But that last sentence didn't need to be in there. But like
Michigan does not need to be in there, just like Texas doesn't. So take the
conference. That's correct.
I mean, me saying there's not expansion. I mean, the only caveat I would put on there, I would rather Michigan in there over James Madison and Tulane. I think we all agree with that.
Yes.
I think we all can agree with that, regardless of conference. Last thing says, wait, I thought bowl games didn't matter. Blake, you told me they did. So do they or do they not? But regardless, Michigan went 0-2. The team that you – he's defending Michigan. He's defending Michigan for the Big Ten.
Oh, Elk got caught. Elks got caught.
He got caught defending Michigan in the Big Ten.
Elks.
So now you're in a corner. Now you're in a corner. You just defended Michigan. I knew that you weren't truly an Ohio State fan.
All right, we can't jump that far.
All right, we're out of here. We'll see you on Wednesday. Joe, pray for me. We have T-ball playoffs that start tonight. So I guess
praying we'll for see. You.
All right, see y'all soon. Peace.